Episode 13.
Sports is not the only way to make a person happy, I have to say. I knew from very young I cannot play volleyball forever. I have to find other places to make me happy.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are Beyond Athletic. Hello, hello. Today we've got on Nikki Ning Chao. She is from China. Had a great interview with her. She is actually living now in Utah with her husband and two kids. And she was a setter at University of Arkansas, Fayetteville. So today we get into how you could struggle if you decide to go somewhere else to play your sport and what options you might have to turn that, what could look like a failure, into actually a really huge success. And we get a little bit into how to stay happy outside of sports and why it's really important just to be very goal-orientated in terms of planning your life. What do you want ahead of you? How are you going to get it? Who can you surround yourself with? And like I said, when things come up, how can you turn them into positives, even if you're in a foreign country? And Nikki did a great job of doing that. She came to America, she couldn't even speak English, barely, and now she does. You can hear her on this podcast, and it's very, very inspiring to know that someone could come so far and then be turned away because a coach makes a mistake and leaves that player behind. And because there's so many good people in the world and because she had an open mind, things worked out. So I hope you enjoy the show. If you do, leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher.com. You can just search for us by putting Beyond Athletic Podcast in there. Or go to our site at ProRJO or RyanJOwens.com/podcast. And you can see all of the podcasts with the show notes there. And if you like the show, we have a campaign on Indiegogo. That's igg.me/@beyondathletic. Share that with a friend or donate even $1 or $2 to help us keep this going. Thanks. Welcome to the show. Today we've got on the show Ning Chao. She goes by Nikki. She's living in Utah now. How are you doing? I'm happy and grateful to have you on the show.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I know it's late where you are. We had a nice little chat before the interview. Technology stuff is both of us have issues with it. I definitely do. And I'm so glad that we were able to have this talk. I'm also really grateful because I reached out to you because you're a player who played in America and you came from a foreign country and you got to the top of the rankings and you were recognized as one of the best players in the country. And I really admire you for that because that was very brave of you. And it took a lot of guts to not only leave your country, but to work your butt off to get what you got. I just want to tell people that I reached out to Ning and she had to double check, of course, with Coach Chris Poole at Florida State, who was her coach in college, just to make sure I wasn't some crazy, right?
Well, yes.
We need to get your story out. And I know you have the same feelings about this as I when I say that there's people around the world that don't have opportunities. And this is all around the world. And if we can help just one person get better in their sport and let their sport take them to somewhere else, somewhere new, it doesn't mean they leave their country, but it gives them something more in life, you know, to be happy about. then I would be really happy. And I think we'll get that. So just to give everybody a little bio on Ning, she is a mother of two, a 9-year-old boy, a 2-year-old girl. She's a native of Beijing, China. She was born August 20th, 1976, where she was actually, when she got a little bit older, she was a brief member for a few months of the Chinese junior national volleyball team, which was the top 12 junior players in the country before she decided to come to the States. So that cut that possible career short. When she was 18, she got to the States. She attended community college first at Barton in Arkansas. She was a 2-time All-American there. And junior college, for people listening, is actually a 2-year college system, and it makes it much easier for people who are, for instance, need to get their grades up to get into schools that they want, or they need a little bit of time to, for instance, get used to the American system, et cetera, et cetera. It's fantastic. And then she went on to play for the Lady Razorbacks at, what school was that?
University of Arkansas, Fayetteville.
Yeah. She was ranked 8th nationally at her junior season and up to 15th nationally as a senior. She was co-captain in 1999. You were first team All-Southeastern Conference. You were 9th in the nation in assists because you were a setter. And you made it to the Sweet 16 and second round of the NCAA tournaments, your final 2 years with that college. And I just want people to know that you got to both colleges on a scholarship, which means that they paid for your education and your living expenses, all of that kind of good stuff. And you were, I like to give people a little bit more because there's some really cool stuff. You are one of only 3 players, and up until recently it was only 2, with 3,000 assists in your career. So congratulations on that. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Lastly, just to wrap up, because you did so many great things in your collegiate career. In 1999, your last year, you were an NCAA D1 All-American. And this is back when they didn't have the first, second, and third teams. They just did districts. And then from there, let's say you started coaching in 96, kind of assisting as a student. And then you moved on to coach for a D2 school, University of Central Arkansas, for a year after playing under Chris Poole, who we actually had on the show. He did tell you that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he told you. Then you went on to Texas for a year. You got married somewhere in there. You were assistant coaching and coaching young kids up until now, where you stopped after a year in Utah, and now you're a full-time mommy, right?
Right.
Awesome. So listen, I've given everybody a lot of your background, and I really wanted to paint a picture that, you know, you came a really far distance. Now you live in America. And now what I want to do is talk about something that means a lot to you. So we're going to go through a couple of things. And the first thing is, what are you most grateful for in life?
To be able to play volleyball and have the chance to come to the States because of it.
What's an inspirational quote or motto that you believe in?
Smile. I don't own all the problems in the world.
I love that. You sent me, Ning sent me a list of 7 things, and I think it's like 7 rules of life, and I love them, and I'm going to post it actually on the show notes, which is basically like a blog post that'll have your audio interview, and I awesome. Want everybody to see it because it's really incredible. So smile. You don't own all the problems in the world. Just relax, right?
Right, correct, chill.
Who's the person you feel has been most influential in your life to reach higher and be better?
The person who brought me here to the States, but he left me 3 months later. I know it doesn't sound so positive, but now that I look back, I think he had to be the most influential person in my life. Without him, I would not be as a strong person here today.
So we're definitely going to get into that, I'm sure, in your story. So listen, now people know a little bit more about who you are, Nikki Chow, and I want them to hear your story, how you came to get to the point that you ended up in America and now you're the mother of 2 and a wife and living in Utah. So before we get to all that good part, I want you to tell us where you came from, how life was as a kid leading up until you got into the sport, why you chose the sport, and then why you chose to get to the States.
Okay, so I was born in Beijing, 1976, and I was the only child in the family, and started playing volleyball when I was 9 years old, because Both my parents worked, and I had what they call nowadays ADHD. I really just want to get going and move, run, jumping around. I had problems sitting down for a long period of time, for 45 minutes. I had problems with that. So when a coach came to my school, actually I wasn't even tall, but my parents were tall. So they asked my parents if I could go play volleyball after school. So my parents were very happy that I could have a place to go after school without causing problems. That's how I started to play volleyball.
Oh, wow.
Very interesting. And so you started at the age of 9. And now I'd like you to take us to the point and really put us in that moment. And then fast forward to the day that you decided that America was even an option and how you made that choice.
This is a long story. I'm going to make it short because the way the athletes are in China is different than here in the States. So we played our whatever the sport we were in, but we didn't get the chance to go to school as normal kids did. Mm-hmm. So at the time, we were all thinking about our futures. Are we good enough to make the Olympic teams in China? If we're not, then what am I going to do after retiring from playing volleyball? Then, so we all thought about somewhat, we need to get some education. I needed other life skills, not just playing volleyball. Mm-hmm. I need to do something else after retiring. But I never thought I would come to the States until this coach contacted my coach in China.
Uh-huh.
So that's how it all started.
Wow. And so then take us to the moment where you decided, yes, I'm going to do it.
That's when he told, after he saw my tape, he told me I was good enough to play at the D1 school here in the States. And I see the opportunities getting a good education besides volleyball.
Yeah.
So I decided to come.
Tell us, after all of this, you got to the States. And I want to fast forward up until now. Tell us about what your life is today.
Who am I today? Wow. I'm a mother of two, happily married to a wonderful man. I can proudly say I have a family because for a long time in the States, I had nobody. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy. This is the happiest time of my life. My kids are healthy and I get to do what I do every day, taking care of the kids and make dinner, play volleyball with my friends. Did I answer your question or?
Yeah, it's perfect. So you still play volleyball a little?
Of course.
Uh-huh. Volleyball is one of those sports that people just cannot get out of their blood. It's just like, you gotta play.
Yes, I may be old, I may be slow, I may not be jumping as high, but I still play.
Whoa, whoa, you are not old. You're 4 years older than me. You are not old.
You're funny. Older.
Yeah, okay, I'll take older. That. I'll take that. So thanks for sharing. Now that we know who you are and where you came from, could you do me a favor, do all of us a favor? Because we all make mistakes. We all fail. We all make bad choices. We all feel like maybe they were and maybe they're not. So could you take us to a time that you made a bad choice or failed? When was that moment? And tell us what you learned.
That was, I think, somewhere in January 1995. I could tell you exact time. That the moment I felt like I failed, because that's when the coach brought me to the state, told me he had moved on. Told me that I was pretty much on my own. After 3 months being in the States, did not speak English, had very little financial resources, and didn't really know nobody. He pretty much told me I could just go home now. So that's the moment I feel like I failed big time, because my family, my parents, my friends, everybody thought, okay, Ning is going to the States and going to finish college, play volleyball in college, and she's going to succeed in America. But after 3 months, he told me I could go home, and I didn't even learn how to speak English yet. That's the moment I feel like I really, really failed.
Yeah, that had to be really difficult. And
Very.
so tell us what did you learn from that, and how did you get yourself out of that situation? Because obviously you ended up being successful at exactly what you wanted.
I got out of that situation. Well, of course, first you have to have a strong mind. You have to believe in yourself and be strong. I don't need him. I don't need anybody. I can survive. I can survive. I can go to college. I can do all this. You just have to believe in yourself. Of course, you can't only do that by yourself. I had many people that I didn't even know them because I didn't speak English. For instance, there was a lady working at International Student Office. After the coach left me there, somehow she heard my story, so she reached out, and she even got a translator for me from a church. Was a yes, it was a Chinese gentleman. So she helped me, and then this priest, a Chinese priest, also helped me to communicate with the new coach, who also got me to the community college. That's all where it all started. So just believe in yourself, and then there's always nice people around you.
This is actually something, Ning, that I say a lot on the show because I believe it with all my heart. And it's really that you are the average of the five closest people you keep to you. And being someone who travels the world for a long time now, I was saying just yesterday on the podcast with Mia Yerkov, who's a Croatian national team player and now playing in Japan, that I would go one step further than to say what people normally say, which is that, and it's very true, you are the average of the five closest people to you, meaning that you take on, maybe how successful they are, their values, their characteristics, and they add value to your life. But I would say you are the value or the average of all of the good people that you come in contact in your life and all of the bad people. So if you surround yourself with great people and you make sure that you focus on that, these people in hard times can really help you move forward and stay on a good path like these people did for you. So I'm really
Right.
grateful for those people to have helped you. So listen, this is actually something I've dealt with this something like this personally in professional sports. And so I'm really interested when you came to the States, to this university, who was the coach, by the way?
He was the head volleyball coach at Central Connecticut State University. When he recruited me, he was a coach there.
And he moved on to what school?
He moved on to coach at Syracuse.
And so this is something I want to point out to people, because if anyone listening decides that they want to go to a college team or a pro team, et cetera, you have to make sure that you do a little bit of research. And this is really tough for someone who was in your shoes, because you're young, you're so far away, you don't speak the language. But you've got to find, one of my recommendations is find someone that speaks your language who has done it before. Find somebody that you can relate to, and if you can't, do your best to do as much research as possible to find out, because some people really they're not as good-hearted and caring as we'd like to think they are. And so while this person, I'm glad they brought you to the States like you are, they're very influential in that way that they gave you this shot, they also kind of left you high and dry. And so if
Right.
it weren't for these people who helped you would have had to go back home and think your life would have been on a
Right.
totally different path.
Correct.
So surround
You're correct.
yourself with great people, do your research, because there are, for instance, to get to schools in America, there's definitely rules and you need to know them. And to get to pro
Right.
teams, there's definitely rules and you need to know them. So listen, thanks for sharing that. What I'd like to talk about now is, what was your proudest moment?
My proudest moment would be graduating from college and had a somewhat successful volleyball career in college. That's my proudest moment.
And you graduated with what kind of degree?
My degree was in art, graphic design.
Oh, interesting. My brother did that. It's awesome. Do you still practice?
Sadly, no.
Maybe you'll get into that a little more, because it's definitely a part of you, I can see. So listen, everyone out there listening has some things that they do, some habits, and we all know that habits contribute to our success or to our failures. And what I'd like to do, because you were a successful player, and you definitely have had, let's say, a positive life, because you're happy, you have your family, you're in a country that you feel like is now a new home, and so things are going well. What personal habits do you believe contributed to your success?
I think be happy and do the things you love to do. For example, I love to cook. I love volleyball. So guess what? I'm on Pinterest searching for new recipes, cook for my family and friends, and I go play volleyball with my friends. And because of I play volleyball, I made so many friends here in Salt Lake City in a short period of time. So all these things make me very happy, and I do on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting that you said Pinterest, because a while back I started a Pinterest board, and I started figuring out how to use it, and I have a ton of boards on there, and it is so useful. So anybody out there that doesn't know Pinterest, a lot of people will, but it is fantastic. And I, like you, I love to cook. So if you ever have any cool baking
no
recipes.
Way.
Yeah, I'm sitting here eating a muffin that was a successful try because I've had many failed attempts, but I'm eating a chocolate muffin that's amazing that I made with like quinoa and almond meal that I made. So yeah, share.
That sounds good. I like you, Ryan. You like to cook and volleyball, so do I.
Yes, I love it. I think all athletes and all people should learn how to cook. It's something that we've lost touch with. Everybody's living in this fast food world. I don't understand it.
Cooking is awesome, but yes. So is volleyball.
Yeah, so my main takeaway from that, your personal habits, means that in order to keep yourself happy, you figured out what makes you happy, and then you figured out how to get better at those things. And you got better at them by finding resources to learn new things in cooking, and you got better at volleyball by training and keeping it in your life. And therefore, you're still, you know, happy and healthy with everything. At least I hope you're eating healthy.
I like to think so.
So tell me, what's your plan for the future?
When my two-year-old gets a little older, I like to go back to coaching someday, or helping young athletes in China to come over here to the States for a brighter future.
I love that. I mentioned to you before, Elite Sports Students, the project that I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
In this project, I'd love to take a moment just to say it, if you don't mind, talk about that.
Sure.
So Elite Sports Students, what I envision for it, and I started it up here in Serbia, and the next part of it is getting one more in America, like let's say a headquarters. And basically what I want to do is create a place where either virtually or in person, students will be able to have access to the same things. And those same things are mentors like you and I, people they can learn from. They can learn from listening to this podcast, people that they could connect with outside of something like this, like via email or Google Hangout, like we're doing to record this show. And then tutors that can help them get better in school, learn how to pass tests that would help them get into foreign schools, or learning how to use mocks. If you don't know what mocks are, they're massive open online courses. And basically all the universities around the world, the good ones and the bad ones, but all of them are good if they're teaching people, they all usually, and especially now, they have these online courses where these are the same courses they offer to kids and adults all around the world who are attending their school. And they put them on the internet for free. And so kids anywhere have the opportunity to learn via internet if they have an internet connection. So that's the second part to it. And then the third part is to have showcasing events where we basically have camps where we can bring kids and coaches and recruiters from all over the world to one place. And this is happening in multiple instances around the world. So it sounds like you have kind of a vision like me, and I definitely don't have the strongest contacts in China, so maybe there's something there for the future.
I will definitely be glad, you know, to help younger kids any way I could. I would love to.
That's great to hear. So listen, we've gotten through a bunch here. I like how we went through it so quick. You tell a story, but you definitely keep it simple. And I'm really happy because it's really easy to get caught up in details and get lost. And so people listening are going to have great tools so far to learn from your experiences. And seeing as those are great tools, I really want to get into some specifics about how you live your life and how you stay up to date and kind of like improve yourself as a mother, as a person, as an athlete, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to go into a section I like to call the Beyond Athletic Toolbox. And the first question is going to be, how long do you sleep normally and what's your morning ritual?
Normally, I don't sleep much. I sleep about 6 hours a day. And my morning ritual is drinking a full glass of water. It's good for your health. Trust me, it's good for everybody. And smile, it's a new day.
I love it. You keep it really simple, and that's fantastic. The best things are the simplest things. So what's a book or a learning resource you love to use and learn new things?
Like I mentioned before, Pinterest now these days.
Yeah. And I'm going to link in the show notes in case people, do you have any boards that you've posted on Pinterest that people could follow?
Yes, please follow. I have a lot of them, but they're all about food.
What's a tool that you use to stay healthy or improve yourself in some way?
I guess do the things that make you happy. Be with my kids and do the things that I like to do. Cook and play volleyball.
Name something that you take when you're traveling.
My phone, my passport.
Awesome. You can't go anywhere without your passport.
I know.
And what's a way that you like to add value to other people's lives that you know or you don't know at all?
There's many ways, I guess, to make them feel like you care about them. Simply, let's say if I play grass ball with my partner, sometimes if he's down, just a simply tap on the shoulder, give him a high five. I guess, you know, depends on the situation. And it doesn't have to be something major, something big, or a smile. Something little would make someone feel a lot better.
Yeah. And what advice would you give your 16-year-old self?
I would say be more goal-orientated. Did I say it right?
Okay. Yeah, of course. How can people connect with you so that, for instance, let's say there's someone out there who's inspired by your story and wants to kind of follow along your journey with you, whether it was in pictures or whatever. Maybe Pinterest we're definitely going to put up. How can people connect with you?
Pinterest or talk to Ryan J. Owens.
I can be the facilitator. And do you have anything else like Instagram or?
I have Instagram, but I'm not on it all the time.
Okay. So if people want to follow you, then they could find you on Pinterest for sure. Facebook, I can say from experience, you better be somebody who she can research and know. But that's one option. And then, of course, anybody, if you're thinking about connecting with her because you're inspired by her story and you would maybe even like help with some setting tips or knowing how to get, you know, from abroad to a school in America, then contact me and I will let Nikki know. Okay. So last thing, and this is the most important thing. I like to ask all my guests this, keeping in mind that most top level athletes either go broke shortly after their career, they get in trouble with the law, they can be violent with their loved ones, or maybe they even just get injured and they have to quit before they even have a full career. The sad thing is that a lot of them, they end up depressed, maybe even clinically depressed, or even worse, committing suicide after being successful athletes. And in order to stop that from happening, this podcast, one of the goals is to show people that there's more to life than sports. And through your story, it's very obvious that the things that keep you happiest in life are not just your successes in volleyball, right?
You're very right.
Yeah. And seeing that, in fact, most athletes these days, I mean, they have this self-identity that only associates with sports, meaning they haven't found other avenues to be a three-dimensional, a fully, like, complete person. So with that in mind, what is your definition of being beyond athletic as a person?
Well, there's a lot to say. Let me see if I can say this right in English. Sports is not the only way to make a person happy, I have to say. So, see, from my own experience, I knew from very young, I cannot play volleyball forever. I have to find other places to make me happy. And there's a whole lot world besides whatever the sports you're in.
There's for a instance, whole other world.
Right. Thank you for helping.
No
yes, for instance, your family, cooking for me, and traveling. There, the world is beautiful with or without your sport. Yeah, that's my definition beyond being athletic.
Perfect. Well, great. Thanks so much for answering, and thanks so much for coming on. I had a great time. I know that this is, you know, not something that's very easy for a foreigner speaking English. I want people to understand that Ning is really, really out of her element, and to be able to do this interview in English and to have that opportunity to have lived in America for so long is really incredible. And you can tell that by all of this, it shaped you into a very, very awesome person, because you can tell that you're very passionate about the life that you're living right now, and you're definitely proud about the steps you took to make it happen. So thank you so much for taking the time out for us today.
Thanks, glad to be here.
Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us, and share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at Beyond Athletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.